years ago. Well, let's just say I was about 12 or 13, so I'm not going to tell you exactly how many years ago that was. We had field and track at Imperial High School in Pasadena. And one year they decided to have a field and track event at the Rose Bowl. I had a friend named Dallin, I won't give his last name. He was a runner. And he tended to mock me because I was not. He liked to run the mile. And so he challenged me to run the mile. I said, okay, yeah, I can do that. I can run the mile. So we go out to the Rose Bowl. We have our big event. And I thought it was kind of odd. You know, I used to see him running around the track back at high school. And I said, man, what is he doing? He's out there running all the time. So anyway, we get out there and the gun fires and we take off. Well, I take off like a jackrabbit. I am out in front of everybody. I'm leaving them all in the dust. And I thought I was just doing great. I think it was about 8 laps was a mile. Well, after about 2 laps, I started falling behind. Pretty soon, people start running by me, passing me, and I'm falling farther and farther behind. Till there's just pretty much me and one other guy at the very end. And I hear the announcer say, well, it looks like that hill kid's run out of candy. Needless to say, I was mortified. But I finished the race, as humiliated as I was. And my humiliation was well deserved. You know, it wasn't a marathon. It was a race. But that 1 mile run certainly felt like a marathon to an untrained young man. You know, a marathon began, I think, the first marathon in ancient Greece. It was a Persian-Greek war. And the world power at the time was Persia, back in about 546 BC. And at that time, their territory spread from Asia to Egypt into what is now Turkey. Greece consisted of a series of independent democratic cities. One of those that was not a democratic city was Sparta. And I'm not going to go into, you know, the details about Sparta. I'm sure you've heard various things about them. But in 490 BC, Persia landed on the plains of Marathon, outside Athens, and they prepared to attack. There was a Greek runner named Pheidippides, and he was sent by the Athenian generals to Sparta to enlist their aid, come help them battle the Persians. Pheidippides ran 140 miles to Sparta in 36 hours, only to be told by the Spartans that they couldn't help out until the full moon because of some kind of Spartan religion. So Pheidippides turned around and ran 140 miles back to give the disappointing news to the Athenian generals that Sparta was not coming to their immediate aid. The Athenian generals chose to launch a surprise attack on the Persians and routed the Persians, leaving 6,400 Persians dead on a battlefield while losing only 192 Athenian soldiers. But the Persians was a vast army and a vast fleet. The Athenian generals again dispatched Pheidippides to carry the message of the victory to Athens, this time a 26-mile run, approximately, and to warn them the Persian fleet was coming. Said Pheidippides ran the 26 miles after fighting the fierce battle with the Persians the very same day. And Pheidippides ran those 26 miles in 3 hours. After fighting a fierce battle, he ran 26 miles in 3 hours. He delivered his life-saving message, and he dropped dead at their feet after literally running his heart out. Pheidippides was indeed a hero, brethren. He did not run for accolades. He did not run to beat someone else's running time. He ran to give a very important message that could save many of his countrymen's lives. And he finished that race, and he accomplished the task his superiors gave him. No questions. He just did it. The largest marathon today in the world is the New York City Marathon. 40,000 people run that race. It's 26.2 miles. The people run a physical marathon, as Pheidippides did. He ran a physical marathon, and depending on the person, they run the marathon for various reasons. Some people run the marathon to beat someone else's time, to beat their own time. They have various reasons. We run a spiritual marathon to eternity. And that's the title of my message today. According to ShineYahoo.com, it says, race day, your goal should be to cross the finish line smiling. I kind of like that idea. I'd sure like to cross our finish line into the kingdom of God smiling. A gentleman named Doug Rennie on your ultimate marathon training plan emphasizes the importance of having a marathon training plan. So it would probably be a good idea for us to have a plan for finishing our marathon, our race to that finish line and eternal life. Of course, Rennie recommends a strict, healthy diet, and runners should run at least 10 to 15 miles every week for 6 months before their first marathon. It takes a lot of preparation, practice, and effort. Rennie also said that some runners like to run the marathon just because it's there, and they want to do something extraordinary. They have their normal, everyday lives. Don't we have something extraordinary to accomplish? Our goal set before us by Almighty God is much taller than Mount Everest. But you know, we don't have to be experienced mountain climbers. We don't have to run 10 to 15 miles every week. But you know, there are things that we have to do to finish our marathon. So how do we do that? Well, I'm going to give you what I call 7 elements that you can bring into your life for finishing your spiritual marathon. Of course, we know that we need to seek the kingdom of God first, not second. And seek his righteousness, and that's second to nothing. So we need to focus. That's the first element. It's vital. Let's turn to Matthew 13, 45 through 46. Matthew 13, 45 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had bought. All that he had and bought it, excuse me. So nothing else mattered. He focused on that great pearl, not on all this other stuff that he had. He gave it all up and bought that pearl at a great price. We need to focus on the prize, never doubting its reality. Never doubting that God's kingdom will so far exceed your human imagination in its depth and glory and wonder that you cannot even comprehend it with your human mind. In Psalm 16, let's turn to Psalm 16, verse 11. That's Psalm 16 and verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Pleasures, brethren, that you will never be bored with. Pleasures that do not have negative consequences. Obedience to God, finishing our race and entering in his kingdom is going to be a beautiful thing, worth giving up our lives for, worth giving up everything we have for. And sometimes it can be like running a marathon, can't it? Sometimes it gets tiring. Sometimes really bad stuff happens. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. That's 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, and we'll read through verse 10. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. So we have enough of a glimpse of God's kingdom because we have God's Holy Spirit in Scripture that details enough of God's kingdom. So we know that achieving the goal and entering God's kingdom is worth more than anything in this physical life. As you run this great marathon, remember to sharpen your focus on the goal and recall these scriptures again and again. Let's look at Revelation 3:21. Revelation 3:21. You're in trouble. I forgot to start the clock up here. Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Wow. To sit with Jesus Christ on his throne. That's something to hang in there for. Let's look at Revelation 21, 3 through 5. Revelation 21, 3 through 5. God himself will dwell among men. He will wipe away every tear, and there will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. I don't know if I pronounce this right, the opioid addiction problem, a national problem. People have terrible addictions to painkillers. A lot of people are in a lot of pain. I personally had someone very dear to me. A lot of problems result from surgeries and cancers, and we don't like pain. I don't know if anybody raises their hand likes pain. I recommend counseling. God tells us these words are true and faithful. You know, while you're running this marathon, let's focus on Isaiah 35. Turn with me to Isaiah 35, 5 through 6. Isaiah 35, verses 5 through 6. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. You know, I remember many, many years ago, I used to know a gentleman, and I apologize, I don't remember his name, but he was blind, and he wore glasses quite a bit of the time. Played the guitar beautifully. It was amazing. But you know, what a glorious day it'll be when he can see. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. I knew David and Matthew Armstrong well. They were deaf. And I look forward to the day when they and every human being that's been deaf is healed. The lame shall leap like deer. I'm sure everybody here knows someone that's been lame for a long time or short time or paralyzed. Or, you know, if God doesn't heal them in this life, they're going to be healed in the next. And that is something to look forward to. The tongue of the dumb sing, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. You know, I would love to see that super bloom in Death Valley. I've seen pictures where the desert just suddenly has tens of thousands of flowers all over it. And the rest of the year, it's the last place on earth you want to be. But that incredible, miraculous change, that's going to happen. Where you will see the desert bloom. While you're running this marathon, focus on Romans 6, 22 through 23. Let's turn to Romans 6. Romans 6, verses 22 through 23. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, and I just want to pause here, that's certainly better than being slaves of the other person or being, isn't it? You have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Everlasting life, brethren. With those, you know, everlasting pleasures that are godly pleasures. Never getting bored. God has endless wonders in store for us. So the wages of sin, as we know, are death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God has that prize waiting for you. You must show him that you really want it. It's not a ho-hum affair. We need to give this spiritual marathon to eternity, everything we have, so we make it to that finish line. Don't get tired running the race and give up and sit down and never get up again. Second element, yes, we are to the second element. The second element of your training plan. We need endurance. We need strength. You know that you need to focus on the goal, but you also need endurance to finish that marathon to eternity. The definition of endurance is the ability to withstand hardship or tribulation. And boy, does tribulation happen. It can happen from within the church. It can happen from without the church. It can happen with health problems, tragedies, persecution because of, you know, your Sabbath keeping, losing a job. There's all kinds of tribulation. But there's a kind of tribulation that can be even more serious that may happen. Let's look at Matthew 24, verse 9. Matthew 24, verse 9. Matthew 24, verse 9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. You know, no matter how large or how small we are, you know, whether you're a 6'4" man that's built like a football player, or you're a little nerdy guy that's, you know, 100 pounds and thin as a rail, man or woman, your stature, we can have that endurance and strength that we need without having the actual physical, muscular body. That's not what we're talking about. No matter how young or old, no matter how healthy or sick, no matter male or female, we all have all the strength we need to finish this marathon when we remember who our strength comes from. In this spiritual marathon to eternity, only the strength of Almighty God will help you finish the race. Let's see what Scripture says about the strength of the Almighty. Oh, the word Almighty is a good clue. Is there a glass of water if somebody gets a chance? I'd love to have a little bit. Let's look at 2 Samuel. We're going to read most of chapter 22. 2 Samuel chapter 22. And we're going to read through verse 19. Give us a good picture of our Lord's power. Verse 2. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Thank you very much. Sorry about that. I have an addiction. It's called coffee. It dehydrates you. I apologize. I'm going to cut back on that stuff. Verse 3. The God of my strength in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold, my refuge. My Savior, you saved me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears. What are we told? We're told to draw near to God. You do that. You pray to him. He hears you. Verse 8, then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness canopies around him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, coals of fire were kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning bolts, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered. At the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. If we remember to call on God, as I said, and draw our strength from him, we will be able to endure to the end and finish our marathon. Let's look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 35. Hebrews 10, verse 35. And we'll read through verse 39. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. And another scripture, we don't have to turn there, that's good to remember. When you need strength and endurance, is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, having God Almighty and Jesus Christ behind you is not a small thing, is it? So, whatever the battle is that we're facing, we can be victorious if we remember that God's on our side when we do his will and we turn to him. The third element is called diligence. Third element of your training plan for running your spiritual marathon to eternity. Diligence is devoted and painstaking application to accomplish an undertaking. Our marathon to eternity is our undertaking. The physical training plan for running that marathon, remember, involved diligence in running that 10 to 15 miles a week for 6 months. My physical diligence doesn't even come close, and I certainly need to work on my spiritual diligence. God instructs us to be spiritually diligent, brethren. The Greek word for diligence, G4710, is the one I'm referencing when it's used, is earnestness. It means earnestness, eagerness, with dispatch. Hebrews 6, verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So what are some of the things that we need to engage in with earnestness? What are some of the things we need to be diligent about? There's some things in addition to Bible study and prayer and fasting. Romans 12. Let's look at Romans 12. Verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9. We'll read to verse 13. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Selfless love we're talking about here, brethren, not selfish love. Mr. Armstrong used to say, the way of giving instead of the way of get. Verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, and giving to hospitality. So those are some things to keep in mind that you need to be diligent about. All right, the fourth element for your training plan is perseverance. Perseverance is a continued or steadfast pursuit or prosecution of an undertaking. The Greek word is G5278. The English translation is constancy, patient continuance. That's what perseverance means. And one of my favorite scriptures, because it's encouraged me, because I've certainly fallen down more than seven times, I'll tell you. Proverbs 24:16. Don't have to turn there. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. So we keep getting up, brethren, when we fall. We keep remembering that God is there for us to turn to lift us up and set us on the right course again. Never quit. Never give up. There was a runner back in 2008 named Heather Dornadin. She was a runner for the University of Minnesota and was leading the pack during the final heat of the 600-meter race, the Big Ten Indoor Track Championships. There was about 200 meters of the race to go. So, what, she was two-thirds of the way there. And she tripped and fell flat on her face, and the rest of the pack was just getting way ahead of her. But guess what? Instead of throwing in a towel, she got up and she ran. And she ran. And she ran faster. And she ran faster. And she passed everybody. And she won that race. So just because you fall down doesn't mean you can't finish the race. The spiritual marathon to eternity is about finishing, though. It's not about how fast you go. It's not a 50-meter dash. It's about hanging in there. So how do we gain spiritual perseverance? Let's look at Romans 5, verse 1 through verse 4, Romans 5. Verse 1 through verse 4. Yeah. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also, what? Glory. In tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. So look at that. When we go through tribulations and we look to God and we're going through them, perseverance is produced in us, and we need that perseverance to enter the kingdom of God. The fifth element is zeal. Zeal or passion is the fifth element required. You can't be half-hearted about running the greatest marathon of all time. Not if you want to truly make that finish line. I think, you know, this spiritual marathon to eternity that we run, it's an obstacle course too, or sometimes it's like a gauntlet. It's not just running around a track, you know, eight times, a nice smooth track and all that. There's a lot of bumps in the road. There's a lot of problems along the way. It's a tough marathon. You know, in Ecclesiastes 9:10, we're told Whatever our hand finds to do, we do it with all our might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. It's talking about giving it everything you have. Don't waste your passion on things that do not matter, things that separate us from God. Look at Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of life, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Egypt was the greatest nation on earth at the time, and they had all the riches. And he could have been on the throne with Pharaoh and been a very powerful man. And he gave it all up to serve God. And that's what we have to do. This is our chance at eternal glory, the glory of his righteousness and his kingdom. And we must be passionate and zealous in our pursuit of righteousness in the kingdom of God. Matthew 22, verse 37. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God, not with some of your heart, not just with part of it, with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." I know I need to remind myself of that scripture more frequently. The sixth element, brethren, for your spiritual marathon training plan is commitment. Never compromise. Commitment is the obligation or pledge to carry out or accomplish some action or policy. We need to commit our way to the Lord in order to succeed in enduring to the end and showing the Lord we want that crown he is holding for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 16 through verse 18. Make sure I've got the right one up here. Yeah. Therefore, we do not lose heart. You need that commitment to keep going. Don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, I tell you what, when you're in a lot of pain or you're going through a terrible trial, it doesn't seem like light affliction. At least it doesn't for me. But it's good to look at the scripture and again remember who's on our side, and he will get us through whatever pain it is we're facing, whether it's of the heart or the body or the mind. He's there for us. Verse 18. And we read here in verse 17, the eternal way to glory. And in verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In Psalm 37:5, you don't have to turn there, Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." He will bring his promises to pass. Don't become discouraged, brethren. Don't expect to achieve success overnight. Take it slowly. As we said before, this can be a marathon, not a 50-yard dash to that goal, entering the kingdom of God. The last element, the seventh element, is determination. Determination is the act of deciding definitely and firmly, especially regarding a course of action. Let's look at Hebrews 6, verse 17. Hebrews 6, verse 17. And we'll read through verse 20. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus ran the marathon. He showed us the way. We need to follow his footsteps and the training plan he used. We can take to heart God's immutable promises and Almighty God's determination to give us everything we need to receive our crown and eternal life. And that should help you set your jaw and determine to finish the spiritual marathon. So in conclusion, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 9. First Corinthians 9:24-27. That's 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one who receives the prize run in such a way that you may obtain it? Not focusing on what everybody else is doing, wondering if they're going to make it or not. So-and-so, they're not going to make it. You know, pay attention to your own race. I need to pay attention to my race. And everyone who completes for the prize is temperate in all things. That's, you know, I got to work on that coffee drinking stuff. I'm a little more temperate in that. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. So they run their hearts out, the 26.2 miles. They get a certificate or what? I don't know. Has anybody here ever run a marathon? Carol ran one, a gentleman back there, And does everybody get a prize, or is it just the person, the first three? Or I don't know if you get something that says you completed it. But the winners, I suppose, receive some kind of trophy or certificate or something. And they worked really hard to win that race. But that piece of paper or that trophy is very temporary. We run our race for an imperishable crown that lasts forever. Verse 26, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So we need to run our race with certainty, realizing what an incredible crown waits for us. Remember the seven elements that are required to finish your marathon to eternity. Focus on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we need endurance to make it to the end. And we have the strength of Almighty God and Jesus Christ to call upon. We need diligence, realizing that we have the full assurance of hope until the end. We need perseverance in the steadfast pursuit of reaching that finish line. And we need zeal and passion to love and obey and worship God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. And that will carry us through any tribulation. The commitment to run and finish this race God has given us to run is also necessary. And finally, the determination to decide firmly and definitely that you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and run our spiritual marathon to eternity and cross that finish line and seize that crown of righteousness that God is holding for us. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Win the race, brethren. Finish the race.